الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر، سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. صدق الله. If you remember earlier, we had said that this month is the month of Takhliya. We divided the process of perfection into three important stages. The first stage is Tajliya, in which a person tries to beautify himself from the outside by following the Islamic laws and by prohibiting himself from those things which are unlawful. And the second stage would be Takhliya, by taking out the dirt that we have accumulated throughout the years, so that the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shines in our hearts. And the third is At-Tahliya. At-Tahliya is now the inner beautification, that is trying to get the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ourselves, of course according to our limitations, because when we say manifestation, it is not like trying to epitomize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because epitomization does not make any sense. He is infinite and we are finite beings. So basically we said that this holy month of Ramadan is an opportunity to do takhliya, that is to purify ourselves from within. And in this beautiful surah that we started yesterday, Surah Al-Qadr, we said that إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. The one of the meanings of Qadr is التقدير, that is to determine what will happen to who throughout the year. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends through His angels all what will transpire to everyone from the start of the year up to the end. But if you look at the riwayat, you find that this would be determined by what you will do in Laylatul Qadr. And we said Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr, that is Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. And if we calculate 1,000 months is about 83 years and 4 months. So within, a person also doesn't know whether he is going to live 60 years, live alone 83 years, although we pray for longer than that. However, this is an opportunity which, according to the Persian expression, that Rah Sad Salera Dar Yek An Te Kardan, that means trying to traverse 100 years within one moment. And that's what we would like to do in Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. According to another riwayat, this, the meaning of this, that it is better than 1,000 months, means that any ibadat that you do in that month, in that night, is better than 1,000 months. and it can really determine whether you are going to go to Hajj, how much rizq would be increased, the tawfiqat that we really seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say that, you know, I don't get tawfiq for waking up for Salatul Layl. I don't get tawfiq for doing, for example, this good deed or that good deed. This also determines your tawfiqat, the divine succor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow on us throughout the year. Now it depends on this night. And that is why when some of the companions of the Holy Prophet and the A'imma alayhimu salam would ask that, Afrid lana Laylatul Qadr. That, Imam, you are telling us to find Laylatul Qadr on the 19th night or 21st night or 23rd night. Mention it for us clearly. Afrid lana. You tell us the day, the night, the actual night. So the Imam responds saying that, what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? You can't wake up two nights, 21st and 23rd? At least wake up two nights. So actually this is a message to us that, you know, if we try to practice from now, if we try to start our journey from now, then in Laylatul Qadr we really will benefit from what we would like to benefit from, so that our whole life would be changed. But as I said yesterday explicitly, that the situation is not like that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to limit your rizq and says, okay, that is written. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informing the angels who will inform the 12th Holy Imam ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. In reality narrates what will transpire throughout the year. Through your deeds, for example, you will do silatul rahim, you will, for example, attend to the poor, you are going to pray on time, you are going to pray Salatul Layl, and then the effects that will happen, all these things is narrated, because with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that ilm that is in lawh al-mahfuz. That means that la yataghayyar wa la yatabaddal, nothing will change. That kind of knowledge Allah has. That means that Allah knows what will happen, and then at last what will you do and what will happen. So everything, the whole picture is given. That is known as the taqdeer. Obviously, Laylatul Qadr also plays a very important role in what will happen in future. And that is why we are told that let us prepare from now. Because if we don't prepare from now, then we'll have to regret. If you remember, I gave you some a'mal of what to do so that you can comprehend Laylatul Qadr. And there are some other a'mal also that alhamdulillah the mu'mineen and many of our brothers do practice. That is, for example, Salatul Layl every night, or for example, a certain du'as like Du'a Abu Hamza al-Tumali and other things. Sometimes it so happens that, let's say, you have done this for about 20 days or 20 nights of the holy month of Ramadan, and suddenly you stumble. One night you don't wake up for Salatul Layl. So, here Shaitan takes the opportunity and tells you, they are finished now. Tamam should. Everything is finished now. 20 days you did it, here you stumble. Now you don't have that share. No. That stumbling thing is also sometimes a ni'mah to make you realize that don't be proud of your prayers that you recited for 20 nights. That thing should not make us despair. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intentions. And if we were to miss one day, it would not make any difference to Him. It's not like us that we need, for example, a certain amount to do a transaction. And then you say that if you don't give me a certain amount, I will get at loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our ibadah. Rather, we need our ibadah ourselves. But because He really loves us, that is why He says, if you do this, then I'll give you more. That means the first deed that you are doing is also a ni'mah, and that which Allah will give you also is a ni'mah in reality. Therefore, this is one thing that we, many of us will experience, that for example, 27 days you recited Salatul Layl. Now 3 nights are remaining, and you are very much eager for those 3 nights, and suddenly one of these nights you don't wake up for example Salatul Layl, and you really say that, oh, Shaitan comes and tells you, it's finished now. You cannot prosper. No, it's not like that. You can prosper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such a person, so much so that we are told that if you can't recite Salatul Layl, then recite the Qadha of Salatul Layl. That is also extremely recommended. Extremely recommended. It is even better than reciting Salatul Layl before 12 o'clock, before midnight, for example. Because before midnight, Raja'an also, you can recite. But then, the best is that if you miss, then recite in the next day, Qadha'an of Salatul Layl. And that is also accepted. And these are among the secrets, according to the riwayat, min al-asrar. If you look at the riwayat, that how can Salatul Layl be what done Qadha, and what is the meaning, and whether it's going to give the same effect, you find that no. It is going to give the same effect, it has more secrets behind it. And this is what we should aspire. But that doesn't mean that we intentionally do Qadha and say, okay, we are going to do Qadha and we are going to recite Salatul Layl tomorrow. That's no problem. No, it's not like that. Recite a salawat, please. And if we have not started up until now, it's not late. You can also start tonight. Let's say you did not start from first night, no problem. But you have woken up now, isn't it? So start from now. Because if you start from now, you will really get the positive effects on the 23rd night and you will never regret it. And let's say you can't do it because of your health. Still there is a solution. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. If you can't wake up for Salatul Layl, the entire Salatul Layl, at least wake up 5 minutes before Salatul Subh and recite Salatul Watr. Because in Salatul Layl, let's say if you have about 10 minutes left and you know Salatul Shafa and Watr can be recited, the two and the one rakat, then it is better to recite those because those are the principal prayers among the 11 rakats. But if you have more time, then recite those other 8 rakats also. But if you don't have more time, then the 3 rakats will do. If you don't have even that time, you only have of 1 rakat, recite that 1 rakat. And in that 1 rakat, if you don't have time to do that 70 istighfar and 300 al-afu, don't recite those 70 istighfar and 300 al-afu. Recite that 1 rak'ah because it has extreme significance. This is what we are told in our riwayat. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us. So we should try to respond. So if a person cannot do this, even that 1 rakat, and let's say he recites Salatul Subh on time, at least he should try to engage in other things. Like that hadith that I narrated, that a person comes to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, and says that, you know, I cannot worship the way, you know, these nawafil prayers and all these things. These are very beautiful, I know, but I cannot do it. So the Imam says, then if you can't do it, then recite salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. فَإِنَّهَا تَهْدِمُ الذُّنُوبَ هَدْمًا. This is a very beautiful expression. Because salawat destroys and completely extinguishes that sin in such a way that nothing remains. So this is the powerful effect. So however many, 100, 200, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, however many you can finish in this holy month of Ramadan, do that. And also ask side by side that, oh Allah, while I ask forgiveness through this salawat, please enable me not to return to those sins. Because the most important thing is not to return. If you do istighfar, if you really want to know whether your istighfar is accepted or not, see whether you go, are you inclined to that thing the way you are inclined or not. If you see that you are not inclined, that you know that your istighfar is accepted. But if you see that no, you do have inclinations to those bad deeds or bad things you are doing before the holy month of Ramadan, know that there is a problem in the acceptance. إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Many of us do pray on time, many of us fast, and we realize what we want. Sayyid Ali Qadi Tabatabai, one of the great orafas, one of the great scholar mystics, who was also the teacher of Allama Tabatabai, he had a friend in Iraq who would not pray. Not praying on time, who would not pray at all, who was Tarikus Salat. But whenever he saw Sayyid Ali Qazi Tabatabai, he would venerate him and he would say, Assalamu alaikum. And Sayyid Ali Qazi knew that this person is not praying. Alaikum assalam. He would talk to him properly. Once Sayyid Ali Qazi Tabatabai tells this person who is Tarikus Salat that, do for me one thing. He says that my soul is sacrificed for you. Whatever you want, tell me, I'll do it. Sayyid Ali Qazi Tabatabai said that tonight, wake up for Salatul Layl. So he said, Sayyidina, I don't pray on time, I don't pray at all, and you are telling me to pray Salatul Layl. What is this? Sayyid Ali Qazi Tabatabai said, you know, for me, just wake up and recite Salatul Layl. He said, okay, no problem. Because you have told me, I'm going to wake up for Salatul Layl. And this person wakes up for Salatul Layl and goes to the hawd to do wudu. And when he looks at the water, a certain change transpires in his heart. And he starts attending to Allah and saying that, oh Allah, I have come now, but I know it's not too late. And he starts doing wudu and his heart changes completely. By the time he has done wudu, he is extremely repentant. And when he starts praying, he completely is transformed. And from that time he starts praying, he starts fasting, he starts getting all those things that he didn't do recompensed. And thereafter he changes his life so much so that he becomes one of the zuhad, one of the great mystics in Iraq. This same person who was Tarikus Salat, who didn't even pray. So you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not put those sparks of light in our hearts? Think He is stingy with regard to us, but He is not stingy with regard to a person who does not pray at all. And therefore we should have complete hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should say, oh Allah, the code word is continual persistence. That is, not that one day you go to Allah's door and say that, do this for me. No, every day. Every morning, every evening, every afternoon, oh Allah, I want to change this holy month of Ramadan. The way you give sparks to those people who changed. Within one moment, 100 years of struggle was covered. You also help us to change within one moment so that we can cover the 100 years struggle. Although we don't know whether we are going to struggle for 100 years. Recite a salawat, please. According to Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, in a very beautiful tradition where he tries to give the meaning of Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, that verily we sent the Holy Quran in Laylatul Qadr, he says, Naam hiya Laylatul Qadr wa hiya min kulli sanatin fi shahri Ramadan fi al-ashr al-awakhir. Says, yes, this transpired in Laylatul Qadr, this descent of the Holy Quran, and this is during the last 10 days, one of the last 10 days in every year. So Laylatul Qadr is not something that transpired only during the Prophet's time, but Laylatul Qadr is every year, and it depends on which person, which receptacle is there to receive the Quran. Depending on that, with regard to our time, of course, it is the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. And therefore, it descends in the heart of the Holy Prophet. Now, this descending is not something like descending by displacement. That means that the Quran was upstairs and then it came downstairs. No, it's not like that. The reality of the Quran comes in the heart of the Holy Prophet. A very important question is that if you look at the world, there's a difference of opinion that do we have one Laylatul Qadr or we have several Laylatul Qadrs. That is, for example, if tonight is the 23rd night here and tomorrow night is the 23rd night in Iran, for example, then we have two Laylatul Qadrs, or in reality we only have one Laylatul Qadr. There are three opinions propounded by the scholars. One opinion is that no, there is a difference, because unless there is Wahdatul Ufuq, that is the unity of horizons, if there is no unity of horizons, the first day of the month of Ramadan can be here, the first day of the month of Ramadan can be tomorrow for another place. This is according to one opinion, those people who believe that unless there is a unity of horizon, the place where we don't have unity of horizons, those cities, they can have their day tomorrow, for example, while today is the holy month of Ramadan started over here. This is one opinion. Another opinion is this, that no, aslan, anywhere where the moon is sighted, throughout the world the moon is sighted, and the next day would be the holy month of Ramadan, the first day of the holy month of Ramadan. This is another opinion. And the third opinion, which some scholars really propound and accept this theory, is that the night Laylatul Qadr is counted as the entire rotation that the earth makes. And you see, because when the earth is rotating, one side is facing towards the sun, one side is not facing towards the sun. The side which is facing towards the sun is daytime, isn't it? The side which is not facing towards the sun is nighttime. So the whole circulation that the earth makes, and the night that falls in one side and thereafter it falls in the other side, that is the 24 hours, is known as Layla. That is known as Laylatul Wahida. That is known as Laylatul Qadr. And that is why, even if you go and see in our riwayat, Laylatul Qadr's significance is like Yawmul Qadr's significance. That is, the day of Qadr is equivalent to the night of Qadr in sanctity. That's why it is said that, you know, don't think that if it is Laylatul Qadr yesterday night, now everything is finished. The day is something different. No. The whole rotation that transpires, the 24 hours, is Laylatul Qadr. And that is why you find that while it is day here, it may be in America, it may be night. Alright? So, when your night transpires, it is their day. When your day transpires, which is Yawmul Qadr, it is their night. It is Laylatul Qadr. Because Laylatul Qadr is 24 hours. And this is something that is to be accepted, because this really makes it in such a way that if it is night over here, and if it is day somewhere else, then we will say that they didn't get Laylatul Qadr, we got Laylatul Qadr, because it was night here, and the Qur'an descended in the heart of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now, there is also another very important thing, that if you look at the riwayat, we find that we are advised to do certain things during the night of Laylatul Qadr, and you find that some people are eager to do it, and they do it also. Because of this hadith, that I think you may have even heard this hadith now and again, but I would like to reiterate it, and I would like to make it a bit meaningful for us, that Laylatul Qadr, how should we spend Laylatul Qadr? There is a beautiful hadith which is narrated from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, in which he quotes the Prophet Musa alayhi salam as saying, Ilahi uridu qurbak, O God, I would like your proximity. Qala qurbi liman istayqadha laylatul qadr, my proximity is for the one who wakes up during Laylatul Qadr. Waking up doesn't mean this waking up, you know, that we are awake just now. All of us are sleeping. The Holy Prophet is reported to have said, "Annasu niyamun, fa idha matun tabahu." The human beings are asleep. When they die is when they wake up. This waking up is that spiritual wakefulness. If a person gets that spiritual wakefulness, he will go to the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Prophet Musa says, Ilahi uridu rahmatak, O God, I would like your mercy. And Allah says, Rahmati liman rahimal masakin laylatul qadr. My mercy is for the one who has mercy on the destitute on Laylatul Qadr. It's very important that this mercy have on destitute. Miskeen is worse than faqir. Faqir is a person who doesn't have qutus sana. Qutus sana is what he needs for 1 year. But miskeen is such that he doesn't know whether he's going to eat tomorrow or not. So miskeen is even worse. Masakeen also are in a worse situation than the fuqara. Therefore, the one who has mercy and who really helps the masakeen. And obviously, when we talk about helping the masakeen, we should try to get ilham from our du'as of the holy month of Ramadan, like that du'a that we recite, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur, where when we come, Allahumma aghni kulla faqir, aghni kulla faqir. Not that, oh Allah, enable us to give sadaqah to kulla faqir, that you know, 5 dirhams, 10 dirhams, 20 dirhams, 100 dirhams. The same person will come next week for another 100 dirhams or another 50 dirhams or whatever. Why? Because you have just given him something for about 1 week. So you make them beggars. But ighna is such that you see his status, how is his position, and accordingly make it in such a way that he doesn't have to beg to others, neither to you nor to others. Make it that way. Give him a job, for example. Or enable him to open a business, for example. Or keep him somewhere that he can learn an art and thereafter he can try to earn himself. So that he has that sifa of ighna. And you see the a'imma alayhimu salam, they did the same thing. Whenever they would help in such a way. Some of the historians have said, you know, these riwayat, that for example, Farazdaq is getting so many dirhams from the imam, is something which cannot be understood. The imam would not just lavishly spend. But if you go and see that a person like Farazdaq, whose work was to disseminate the ma'arif of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and say poetry, he would not be able to do business. So the imam knew, for example, when Farazdaq comes out from prison, he comes to the imam and says, you know, the poem that I recited on your sanctity made me go to this prison, and I was in the payroll of Hisham bin Abdul Malik. Now what you do is assist me, O Imam. The Imam gave him so much money that it sufficed him for 23 years. And Hisham and Farazdaq lived for 23 years. So in reality, the Imam knew that, you know, how much he needs, what is he going to do? Very important is ighna. Not even if you give them a lot of money according to you, that I have given him, let's say, $600, $1,000, so alhamdulillah, I have done good. No, you have not done good at all. Sometimes you spend in such a way that you do ifrat. Ifrat is, the person doesn't know how to spend this money. He doesn't know, he has not seen that much money, and you give him this much money. Thinking, oh, you have done a lot, but you have done nothing. Because this same person, tomorrow you will go and see him in a bar or lavishly spending it. He doesn't know how to spend it. He doesn't know what is a business. He doesn't know how to save. So it's very important to have that equilibrium. So Rahim al-Masakeen should be that way. Intellectually see his position. And how can you assist him in such a way that he doesn't have problems thereafter. Recite the salawat. Then Nabi Musa alayhi salam says, Ilahi uridul jawaz ala sirat. O God, I would like to pass over the sirat. Dhalika, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Dhalika liman tasaddaqa bisadaqatin fi laylatul qadr. That is for the one who gives sadaqa in laylatul qadr. Giving sadaqa obviously is not that you just put it in that box that tonight is laylatul qadr. And giving sadaqah. No. Practically go to the person and give sadaqah to that person. And our ulama suggests one very beautiful thing that I feel that all of us would do it if we know what it is. And that is when we give sadaqah, I know of a person who would give sadaqah and say that For example, if the sadaqah is 1,000 dirhams, he would say 10% of the whole money is from me and my family and my relatives. 10% of the whole 1,000 dirhams. And 90% is from Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So you are in reality gifting the thawab of whatever you are doing to the Holy Prophet and his al. But obviously you should know that even this tawfiq that you are getting is from them. Because we proved that the first light is their light. They are the ones who are helping us to do this. But then it is said, it is so beautiful that when you give such certain thing, for example, if you give a sadaqah and you say that the thawab that is from that sadaqah I give to them, then they have that disposition of karama. They do not just receive a gift, they also give the gift which is pure. That is what the, for example, Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, I happened to ask through his son about sadaqah, and he responded this way, that when you give sadaqah for the Imam returns that sadaqah khalisan. That means, for example, you gave it out of, let's say, riya, or out of stinginess, you gave something which was not proper. And when you give it, when the return comes, it returns in a very pure form, and you get the thawab of it also. But obviously our intentions should be so pure that we should not think that, okay, I'll give this much sadaqah, the return will come also. That should not be there in our minds. Recite a salawat, please. إلهي أريد أشجار الجنة وثمارها. O God, I want the trees of Jannah and their fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Musa, ذلك لمن سبح تسبيحة في ليلة القدر. That one, it is for the person who does a tasbih in ليلة القدر. See, we always look at tasbih as something like subhanallah, saying subhanallah. But the reality of tasbih, the word tasbih comes from the word sabah. According to the lexicographer Al-Raghib Al-Isfahani, he says that the word sabah is al-marru sari' fi ibadatillah. That means that you are making a journey by that tasbih. When you say subhanallah, it transforms you. It really makes you act in according to subhanallah, that Allah is free from every imperfection. And therefore you can never even think to do a practical shirk in your life. The moment you do a practical shirk in your life, that subhanallah is not a subhanallah. So this is what we should realize when we say that we want to do tasbih in Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what will make you comprehend what Laylatul Qadr is? Now, whenever there is a statement like this, in different places in the Holy Quran, there are similar statements. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. That means Allah is saying that this thing, this Laylatul Qadr is so powerful and so great and so azeem that words are beyond expression. You, the Prophet, you can understand Laylatul Qadr because you have the receptacle of Laylatul Qadr. That means you yourself are Laylatul Qadr because you have that power of receiving the Holy Quran. But then, mind you, it is something very great. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Some people say that it is beyond the Prophet. This is wrong because in that night the Prophet can vision the angels coming down, receive the Holy Quran. So for him, it was something that could be understandable, but for us, because we are the listeners of the Quran, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of greatness and the night of determination is better than 1,000 months. And according to the riwayat, we have two riwayat. One riwayat tells us that whatever you do in that night is better than doing it in 1,000 months which doesn't have Laylatul Qadr. Because if it would have Laylatul Qadr, then it would be more, isn't it? So 1,000 months which has no Laylatul Qadr, that is about 83 years and 4 months. And in another riwayah, according to a beautiful tradition, it says that Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months in which Bani Umayyah would rule. So, in reality, this rulership of theirs is incomparable with what transpires in Laylatul Qadr. So Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Now comes the peak of it. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرِ. The angels and ruh. Ruh is a creation which is higher than the angels. According to the riwayat, it is some, a person asks, is it Jibreel? Ruh is Jibreel? And he is told, no, ruh is a'azam min Jibreel. It is an entity which is higher and more exalted than Jibreel. Rather, it is an entity that is the highest entity. There is no curtain between Allah and the ruh. That is the first nur that is known as the ruh. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا. That is, the ruh and the angels descend in it. مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. For everything, they are going to give you the report of everything what would transpire throughout the year. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. The situation is such that there is utter peace, the physical as well as the spiritual peace throughout. Now this can only be comprehended by those people who understand what is the night, and whether the night that we are going to wake up the whole night, is it Laylatul Qadr? What are the signs of Laylatul Qadr? There are some people who can vision because they have prepared for Laylatul Qadr. As I told you, that you know there are some a'mal that we can perform for the Laylatul Qadr. And the easiest, I suppose, is that we should participate in Maghrib and Isha for Namaz Jama'ah. So if you participate throughout the month, then Tudrik Laylatul Qadr, you will get a great share from Laylatul Qadr. This is what is there in the riwayat. This is the easiest. Then we have 1,000 times Surah Inna Anzalna, 100 times Surah Dukhan, which can be difficult for some of us. So it depends on how we prepare for Laylatul Qadr. This is a synopsis, a very short commentary of Suratul Qadr that we mentioned. Inshallah, we'll look at our other subjects in future. But this is very important that we realize that if we prepare from now, then we are going to comprehend that light in Laylatul Qadr. Recite the salawat, please. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, one of the very beautiful names of Imam is Abrah. Abrata kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina. Abra means tear. But there is a difference between dam'a and abra. When you say dumu'a, that means tears. Abarat also means tears. But there is a very great difference. Why do we call Imam himself as Abrata kulli mu'minin, the tear of every mu'min and mu'mina? It's very interesting. The word Abra is from the word Ubur. Ubur is to pass and to get transferred and to transport yourself from one place to another. The way the tear comes out from your eyes and goes towards your cheeks and is transported from your eyes towards your cheeks downwards. Similarly, this tear that we cry for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam transports us from this realm of mulk towards Malakut and towards Jabarut. This is known as Abra. So when you say, Ya Abrata kulli mu'minin wa mu'mina, that means Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam can transport each one of us towards the higher realms of existence. And this is by crying for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Every tear that we shed for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is so magnanimous. I can tell you one of the greatest ibadah, one of the greatest forms of takhliya also is this. By listening to the gham of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and crying and weeping over Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and getting transported to the higher realms of existence. On the day of Ashura, one of the most brilliant characteristics that we find is Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's son Ali al-Akbar. So brilliant is he that if we were to ponder over his life and ponder over how his name matches his character, we would come to realize his sanctity. It is said that when Hazrat Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam comes to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam for seeking permission, the word that I used is فَاسْتَأْذَنَ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ فَاسْتَأْذَنَ فَأَذِنَ لَهُ. There was nothing like, you know, wait, let me think. He sought permission from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and Imam gave permission. But then, although Imam gave permission, but he has some words to say to Hazrat Ali al-Akbar. He cannot bear it. He says, Ya Bunayya, Ya'izzu alayya, Wallah firakuk. Oh my dear son, it is very difficult for me to separate from you. فَقَالَ كَيْفَ يَا أَبَتَاهُ وَأَنْتَ وَحِيدٌ بَيْنَ الْأَعْدَاءِ فَرِيدٌ لَا نَاصِرَ لَكَ وَلَا مُعِينٌ. He said, Oh dear father, how can this be so that I go while you are alone between the enemies and there is no helper for you? رُوحِي لِرُوحِكَ الْفِدَاءُ وَنَفْسِي لِنَفْسِكَ الْوِقَاءُ. May my spirit be sacrificed for you, and may my soul be your protection. And thereafter, Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam goes towards the Maidan to fight, and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam cannot control himself, and he prays. He says, "Allahumma shhad ala ha'ula' al-qawm, fatad baraza ilayhim ghulamun." أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا ومنطقا برسولك. Said, Oh Allah, bear witness to these people. For verily, a young man has come out to fight with them who resembles most the Holy Prophet in the physical stature and his disposition and the way he talks. كُنَّا إِذَا اشْتَقْنَا إِلَى نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Whenever we wish to see the Holy Prophet, we would see him. And thereafter, facing the kuffar and facing Umar bin Sa'ad, says, "Ma laka qata'a Allah rahimak wa la baraka Allah fi amrik." What is the matter with you? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut your lineage, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not bless you. And thereafter, Hazrat Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam goes to the Maidan and fights valiantly. And when he comes back, he tells, Ya Abata, Al-Atash qad qatalani. I am so thirsty, and thirst has nearly killed me. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam tells him that, then come and take my tongue so that you can have some repose. And as he puts his tongue on the tongue of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he sees that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's tongue is more dry, and he leaves the tongue very quickly. And thereafter, Hazrat Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam is told that you will be quenched by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when you go to the Maidan. And he goes and fights valiantly, and thereafter he calls Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and says, Ya Abata. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam goes towards him and he sees that Hazrat Ali al-Akbar alayhi salam has left this world, and he says, قَتَلَ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا قَتَلُوكُ مَا أَجْرَأَهُمْ عَلَى الرَّحْمَنُ وَعَلَى رَسُولِهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill that community that killed you. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ فَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.